Blog Talk Radio.
It is Memorial Day. It's Monday, the beginning of another week. We start off with a little bit of a reprieve. Most things are shut down today, as far as banks and post office and that sort of thing. But we'll be back up on the air and in life first thing tomorrow morning. All right, I hope everybody's doing okay today. I was just doing some prep for the show for the last hour or two, and I'll tell you, my blood's boiling on so many levels right now. And it has a lot to do with just the inconsistency of what so many people are doing across this country right now. And I won't get into it in detail right now. We'll talk about it a little bit later in the show. I wanted to tell you that for the first part of the show, I'm so excited to be able to take a tour with me that I did not too long ago and recorded for this show. And I've gotten so many requests because we had a rebroadcast of it this past week. And sadly, there was some sort of a, I'm not sure exactly what the problem was technically, but only part of the show came off. And this incredible little 11-minute piece, unfortunately, got cut off in the middle. And I had no idea because it's all done sort of automatically by computers. So today, I'm going to manually start this little broadcast. And I'll be back in about 10 or 11 minutes. I'm taking you on a tour of food trucks. And we're going to talk about that today because there are several businesses I've talked to over the last 24 hours, actually, two, strangely enough, who've decided to give up their brick-and-mortar businesses, and they've already bought their trucks and been working on full steam ahead to get ready for, business within the next week or so. And they have been doing some takeout and some delivery for the last 2.5 months, but they've decided to just quit paying the rent that they have to pay and the heavy utilities, consolidate everything, put a lot of things in storage, and give the truck a year to be able to give them some room to be able to continue working and planning without exhausting a lot of funds and the fact that they'd only be able to open up 25% of their business right now. So this is dedicated to all these people, a little bit of encouragement, because I know it's a scary move. In some cases, people have to shut down totally. So for all of you that don't have to do that, here's what I got for you.
I've been a chef for a really long time, and these days when I want something to eat, I try to find something that's a little bit different if I'm not going to cook it myself. Well, do you know there's a revolution happening? It's called the food truck revolution. Right here in the Skagit Valley, we're privileged to have some incredible food trucks where you'll find some of the best tacos and burritos and tortas you've ever had in your life. But in other parts of the country, starting out as close as Seattle and Portland, there's a food truck revolution going on where they're serving everything from blintzes to wood-fired pizza to falafel to buffalo burgers and even sushi. I did some research and found some incredible stories and tales of restaurateurs of people who wanted to get into the food business that gave up the traditional idea of a brick-and-mortar restaurant to get something on wheels. Listen to this. Chefs and foodies alike are getting together, finding trucks on places like eBay and even Craigslist. They're using social media like Twitter to gather followers, and when they're ready to serve and they don't know exactly where the location is, they tweet their potential customers an hour or two before they hit the road, and by the time they get there, there's usually a line. Here's some stories.
Right now there's definitely a street food revolution going on.
People used to think of trailers as just sort of grubby food that you would grab, but it has really turned into a sophisticated part of our food culture now.
Some of the best creative, innovative food is coming out of tiny little kitchens on four wheels.
Red velvet pancake bites.
Fries on the sandwich.
Wagyu beef fighter.
Beef tongue tacos.
Top flight burger.
Not everyone can afford to open a restaurant. That's why we opened a street cart to begin with. So it allows these people with some great ideas, great recipes, to serve food to the public and do it in a really open, communal way.
Twitter and other social media has totally changed food trucking. With one tweet, you've now reached 2,000 followers.
It is definitely a food truck revolution.
Some cities, including the Skagit Valley, have had laws in place that are preventing the growth of food trucks happening a little bit faster than in other parts of the country, like in my hometown, New York.
New York is definitely one of the best food truck or food cart cities. In a lot of ways, it's the birthplace of street food in the U.S.
My name is Dave Benling, and with my brothers Brian and Jesse and our partner Peter, we opened the Cluxco Carne Asada cart in Soho, downtown Manhattan. Our model here on Cluxco is we like all our flavors to be really bright. Whenever we're cooking or whenever I'm cooking at home, I pretty much just kick up everything a little too far.
The Calexico cart is, you could almost call them one of the original hipster vendors almost. I mean, these young guys from Southern California moved out to New York and were like, there's no good Mexican food here.
These are our roll quesadillas, which are pretty much like traditional quesadillas, except to save some space in this really small flat top, we roll it over an extra time and tuck it almost like a burrito.
Not everyone can afford to open a restaurant. That's why we opened a street cart to begin with. So it allows these people with some great ideas, great recipes, to serve food to the public. And do it in a really open, communal way.
I've been coming here once a week.
I come either before 12 o'clock or after 2:30, 3 o'clock, and there's no line. But if you come here right at like 1, 2, the line goes right around the block.
Pretty quickly, we got a bunch of fans, and that gave us a bunch of opportunities where we opened a restaurant down in Brooklyn. Right now, there's definitely a street food revolution going on in cities like Los Angeles and Austin and Portland. And there's a bunch of cities around the country right now that are just producing some really cool food off tiny kitchens on the street.
One place I've experienced this firsthand is Portland.
Portland's a great food city. The majority of the food trucks in Portland are parked on surface parking lots around the city, usually closest to where people work, office buildings, or where people drink, bars. So they generally follow the basic biorhythms of life.
Here are two people who definitely define the size and deliciousness of a sandwich, with a great name to boot.
Roast beef. Hey, we're big-ass sandwiches.
French fries on the sandwich?
What they do is really interesting, you know, because they're not doing your typical chicken salad sandwiches.
Yeah, really come on, man. Look at that.
Something that's elevated, something that's using good ingredients.
French fries?
When I was a little kid, I used to put French fries on all my sandwiches and stuff, and Lisa said, oh, that's a great idea, we should put French fries on our sandwiches, and what would you name that? And she kind of looked right at me and said, big ass sandwiches. Okay, so this is the roast beef Caesar sandwich.
I love that Caesar dressing.
Pinch of the salt.
Dude.
Let that do its thing for a little while.
Homemade Caesar.
Right. The roast beef.
People get to choose what meat they want. Roast beef is the most popular.
Looks really good.
Throw a bit of the romaine over the top. A little pinch of that. Can't ever have enough cheese.
And then, of course, the french fries.
My favorite.
And that is a roast beef Caesar sandwich.
Amazing. Absolutely delicious. Of course, in Los Angeles, where you have to drive everywhere, food trucks make a lot of sense.
This isn't your old Roach Coach. This is a Nuvo food truck.
And in Los Angeles, where everything is drivable and nothing is walkable, it's really great to be able to walk out your front door of your office building or your house, and you have a huge array of food to choose from right there.
Well, in the state of California, every truck has to park on a commissary every night. There, they get the truck cleaned all the way through. So when the operators come back in to start business for the next day, the truck is like a brand new truck.
I'm Chad Pugnier.
I'm David Pugnier.
And we're the owners of the Visi truck. In the morning, we basically set up, we arrive at the commissary probably around 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah, we take inventory, we see what we need out of the commissary.
We're gonna go walk in, grab some of our supplies. Everything that we need is at the commissary. It's kind of where we store all of our goods, whether it's our meats, our produce, kitchenware, or silverware, or beverages.
We serve California coastal cuisine. It has a little bit of a flair from the Pacific Northwest. That's where I was trained. The ingredients are all local, fresh and as organic as possible.
We use high quality meats. We use a Wagyu beef, we use a Jidori chicken, and it's something that you would typically find in like higher quality restaurant, but we definitely want to bring it to the street.
We got to make sure the water tank is filled up, propane's filled up, drinks are done, and we have all of our paper products.
We got to marinate the chicken.
Every day I got to get the chicken ready, you know, get it pretty much prepped and marinated for the day.
Usually it's always a rush, because we try to get to our location like on time, beat traffic, and beat the other trucks there.
Prepped and ready, they're on their way.
So we're ready to go. We're headed to our lunch spot over in the valley.
Right now we're going to be tweeting our new location. And when we tweet it, then we let all of our followers know where to find us at.
All right, let's get out of here.
Twitter and other social media has totally changed food trucking.
One 140-character tweet can let 2,000 of your followers know where you're going to be.
Food entrepreneurs have figured this out, and they were like, well, we don't need to put an ad in the paper. We'll just get really aggressive with our social media strategy.
So if you're sitting at your desk and, you know, you're a fan of several trucks, during the day, you may get several tweets from them letting them know where they're going to be in your area, what time they're going to be there, and so it's one-stop shopping.
Using social media has saved these vendors lots of advertising dollars.
Empanadas! We found the truck on eBay.
The Magic Bus is run by what you probably call hippies.
We had to have a purple hot dog.
Without meat, your life is not complete.
It is definitely the next generation. They're looking for something that's not just a regular sit-down, stuffy restaurant situation.
Our next stop on the food truck revolution is Austin, Texas.
Austin is a fun city to be in.
Austin, Texas has always been known for amazing music, great food, and now food trucks and trailers.
People who like to eat at trailers in Austin like a more laid-back environment to eat in. They want to be able to pop in and go as they please, stop in for lunch, or maybe even for a happy hour after work.
For the last leg of my food truck journey, we went to Minneapolis to talk to some people there to see exactly how this revolution is spreading across the country, and we got some delicious ideas. There are a lot of similarities to right here in the Skagit Valley.
Minneapolis is a great food town. We have amazing chefs. We have great restaurants. We live in the Midwest where the farms are 20 minutes from the downtown area. And starting now, it's a place where you can get a food truck and a cool food truck.
Hi, I'm Chris Lockyer and this is Kathy Lockyer. We own the Magic Bus Cafe in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Magic Bus in Minneapolis is run by a family of what you'd probably call hippies.
The Magic Bus Cafe serves hot dogs and tofu dogs because everybody loves hot dogs. When we got a hold of the bus, we thought, you know, our business needs to reflect who we are.
And anybody who knows us, this screams Kathy and Chris.
Minneapolis is currently going through some legislative changes. You're seeing a few more trucks and a few more street vendors come on the scene. We use all beef hot dogs. And we split and fry our hot dogs. We caramelize them just a little bit on the griddle. We use a lot of organic ingredients. We use a lot of local ingredients. And we make interesting toppings with them. We do one that's sauerkraut with beets and garlic and onions. We do a relish that we add mango chutney and curry powder to. We have a hot dog that we use organic scrambled eggs, local bacon, and cheese on.
Who has the Soulshine dog?
I do.
Here you go. Enjoy.
All our hot dogs have fun names to them.
Here's a pig pen with psychedelic relish. I'm making our Give Beets a Chance dog. We had to have a purple hot dog.
Not a great way to get rich, but a really great way to have a good time while you're making a living.
Cheers.
And cheers.
Cheers on the hot dog.
Well, I hope you've learned something about this food truck revolution that's happening all across the country. Maybe with all the incredible things we have growing right around here in the Skagit Valley and hundreds of great cooks, we could start a food truck revolution of our own. Well, you can count this cook in. This is Stuardo Glasser for Skagit Talks.
All right, we are back. Sorry for that little pause there. Somebody also requested they wanted to hear just a little bit of the song to put him in the mood for today. And I thought that was such a nice request. Let's see, I'm going to try to play it for you. And I think it's pretty cool. Let me find it. All right, here we go. Here we go. We'll talk about it in a second.
Moving.
All right, I had to play that for Gene, one of our listeners. Thank you, Gene. It's basically a song that reminds him of when he was a teenager just starting to play music, but it also was, we used that to close out our shows for the first month of this broadcast during the quarantine, because in so many cases, and even in still a lot of cases, people are having to see their loved ones and friends and family through the windows. Look Through Any Window is a song that was written in about 1963 or four, and it just talked about that so many people in life, they have the ability to move around freely and to go to work and school. But there's some people, sadly, that are stuck at home for maybe some kind of a handicap or an injury. But they still created a whole world by looking out their window. And I thought that song was a perfect metaphor during the height of, I don't know if it was the height, but let's call it the first height of quarantine, where a lot of us were, I don't know, it just seems a lot the same to me. But in the first few weeks, it seemed like everything had an echo to it, so to speak, like this. We're all walking through a really huge tunnel, you know? That's what it felt like to me. And still does a little bit parts of the day, and especially during the middle of the night. There's an eeriness. Even if I live on an island, I live sort of isolated, but there's still a little bit of noise, even from the harbor. But now it's just silence. And so anyway, Gene, thanks for writing and telling me you'd like to listen to the show. You know, the show has been a little funny the last couple of days because it's bouncing around from making its way back to Foodomania to falling deep in the pit of quarantine mania. And, you know, before I went on the air today, I was saying when I first started the show today, I was prepping. And in prepping, I usually catch up on all my little bulletins that come my way so I can announce anything that seems to be important or have something to do with all of us out here, you know, in the county, so I can update people with any kind of information. And then I'll spew a little bit of I don't even like to use the word spew, but I'll go ahead and start talking about different things that we're in the middle of and things that are coming up, you know, to our fall. Anyway, long story short, I like to try to keep the politics out of the show, but during getting prepped today for the show, I really did get pretty mad and angry about some of the, I really always am really reluctant to call people stupid, so I'm not going to call somebody stupid, because everybody has their level of, understanding of certain things. I think when you consciously make it a verb, make it, you act stupid, where you do something where you know you're taking a chance and maybe it's not the smartest thing in the world, but you'll do it anyway. And I'm not talking about going bungee jumping or taking that extra, sandwich and eating it or going out and buying your significant other an incredible present, even though it's maybe not the right time. You know what I'm saying? And I'm seeing, unfortunately, in the last 48 hours since this weekend begun, a lot of people just not taking everything as seriously as they should. And as a result, we have tremendous spikes happening all over the country in this virus, which means that more and more people are infected and more people are transmitting. And it's going to work our way back to all of us, even the ones that are paying attention and staying at home and doing everything they can to be careful. I talked about that in the beginning of the broadcast today. You know, I'm like, holy smoke. Dude, even if, God forbid, I had the disease, it would be impossible for me to having any contact with anybody for 9 weeks that would even slightly be endangered by me because of all the care I'm taking. And believe me, I am a social person. I want to be talking to people I know, but we can't. And unfortunately, a lot of people, one example, 2 or 3 weeks ago, kidding, oh, we got to open our salon, we just got to do it, I don't care, you know, we have to do this, so people got to make a living. I totally get that, man. Do you have everything in place? Yeah, we'll have everything, we'll have sanitizer, and we'll take people's temperature, and we'll make sure they're distant. Well, how are you going to be distant when you have a hair salon, you can actually be touching people's heads? Well, we'll be wearing gloves and... And what about masks? Yeah, some of us will be wearing masks. Some of us. The guy is home right now in his first 14-day quarantine. they infected 90 people in 13 days. 90. And two of the people that have been working for him were going to be so careful and make sure they keep their distance and wear gloves and maybe masks, maybe, sometimes. Guess what? They were the two that spread it. Not to mention the 90 people who went home to their grandparents or family or wherever they were going, that there might have been people in their house who were at risk. So that's where I'm at right now. I don't have enough time to get into it. I will get back tonight on the air at 10 o'clock. From 10 to 10:30, maybe I'll calm down a little bit and maybe I'll have some more facts. I'm just angry because it's like we have every chance. It's like somebody... You've heard stories many times. Somebody gets an opportunity and they have everything. They have a plan. They have the money. They have the time off. They have everything is in good shape as long as they do a few things that they need to do. And you hear lots of success stories, but you also hear the ones that, oh, I squandered it. Oh, I was silly. Oh, I made a bad choice. Oh, I rushed too quick. And nothing worked out. Now, we're not talking about just a business or an idea or a fishing trip. We're talking about endangering another human being's life and all intents and purposes, if they're a high-risk person, you're committing a deadly crime. Listen, folks, this sucks, especially people who are older who maybe have a limited time left on the planet. But what about the young people? What about all the young people who have their lives ahead of them? And they're getting more information every day that it doesn't just affect old seniors. I'm sorry, I'm old. And I'm saying, calling myself a senior. I don't mean old as a derogatory word. But what about the people who are young? It's affecting children whose immune system is not quite as mature as somebody who's older in a way that they didn't understand, and they still don't, but it's happening. Hundreds of cases now of kids 13, 14, 15 years old. We'll get back at 10 o'clock tonight and we'll talk some more. Thanks for tuning in today. I don't understand why there's something that people don't, I don't understand why people who are totally smart and totally have their shit together can't realize what's going on right now. All right, later.